Are we recording?
Let's call this special planning commission meeting to order. We're called to order. Public comment.
Can you see that?
Say where we're at.
Oh, date and time. Special planning commission meeting on Tuesday, October 13th, 2015, at the Community Recreation Center. Ready the address? Public comment. Think we're good there?
Nobody's here.
No public comment. Okay. Scheduled items, approval of minutes from the September 17th, 2015 special planning commission meeting and the September 29th planning commission meeting. I heard some discussion of that earlier.
Yes. Somewhere on there, I could not find the, because I was looking for clarification myself, for the discussion we had about increasing the setbacks along this new sub-district map on this west side. And as we was only five of us there, I think, that evening, and we were talking about it, and John and I were discussing it. And it's like, well, what do you two think? Meaning John and myself. And we said, well, how about we increase it to this? And I do not recall what this was, how much it was, but I could not find it in the
minutes. I remember I was scaling it off on Google Earth while you guys were talking about it.
Yeah.
I recall it being 45 feet.
45 feet, I think.
45 feet.
The number I was looking at.
Okay. All right. But
that is the number
minutes.
That's reflected in the proposed changes, I believe, the red lines I sent out.
All right, I just didn't see
it. So well, we can talk about that again tonight.
Right. And that was discussion item. It wasn't, nobody, there wasn't a vote on that.
But yeah, it was, as I recall, it was 45 feet.
I just didn't see it noted in the minutes.
All right.
Well, as long as we agree what's in the final document that we're sending on.
That's fine.
Let's make sure that we're all okay with that.
Okay.
The motion?
I have one item as well. It's the minutes for the September 29th meeting. It's noted that Glenn Dodge was not there, but later on it talks about Commissioner Dodge making a statement. I've always been referred to as Commissioner Jeff Dodge. So
that just needs to be corrected and put Jeff.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was Commissioner Dodge because Glenn wasn't here or. Or
it's
what?
Probably just an oversight, so we can.
Yeah, okay.
Can
might
want
to change it to Jeff Dodge. Very good, please. That's all.
What's your motion?
I don't have any.
Motion.
You can vote.
You made a motion, right?
No, I'm chairing.
They may have a motion yet? No? I'll make a motion.
Before we get to a motion, who's voting tonight?
Yeah, let's recognize the voting members.
So, who are voting
three,
members?
Lorianne and John.
Lorianne, and we'd like to recognize Lorianne Spears and John Dredge as voting members.
Thank you.
I move that we accept the approval. We approve the minutes from the September 17, 2015 Special Planning Commission meeting and the September 29, 2015 Planning Commission meeting.
I second it.
Go ahead.
Second? Who seconded? I heard two.
Okay. I second it.
Any discussion? Did you want to add the change to your name on the minute?
I think we can add it.
We need to add that change.
I think
the
she
motion
got it.
Should just be you motion to accept the minutes with this said changes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I blew the motion. Okay, I'll try it all over again. I make a motion that we approve the minutes from the September 17, 2015 Special Planning Commission meeting and the September 29, 2015 Planning Commission meeting with the two changes that were discussed. One being the name of Chairman Dodge, and the other the amount of feet, 45 feet. How does that work?
Okay, I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Right. I know you said that the design guidelines are going to be the only thing that we're going to discuss tonight, but this one item came up. And I really think that we can solve this one pretty fast. Genki Food Truck is operated and owned by Cameron Burr, who is now running the grill in our event center here. As part of his effort or outreach to the community, he would like to locate his food truck at Chase Bank during the Lone Peak lunch hours once about every other week. He's worked out an agreement with Chase Bank to be there during the lunch hour. I saw him down there one time prior to his awareness, his being aware that they needed to get a conditional use permit. So I brought this up with him and said, let's work on it. We went through the Chase Bank development agreement, and it does allow for outdoor sales as a conditional use based on this or from the city council, but this body is the one that approves conditional use permits. So we're going to have this body approve the conditional use permit and then send it to the city council for their approval as well. Now, the development agreement does state that the city council, and by virtue of your ability to grant, deny conditional use permits, may alter the size, location, duration, and appearance of the outdoor sales. When I was down there, and I go down to Chase Bank about every day at lunch, there's plenty of parking in the parking lot. So that was not a concern. I know that would probably get brought up, but there's plenty of parking, especially on the side that they're using on the north side. The duration, he is there during the Lone Peak High School lunch hours, and there's no additional signage other than his little whiteboard temporary menu that he'll be offering. So, and then he's worked out an agreement to clean up and with Chase Bank. And the actual scheduling of him being down there will be between those two, not with the city. But we did want to get him in to get that conditional use permit granted. Are there any questions on this?
So the kids are already crossing the street.
Yes.
From McDonald's and
yes.
Whatever else.
Right? They go to Walmart and McDonald's and Harts.
So this
every
isn't
day.
Going to change that.
No, not at all.
It's not a safety.
No, and the kids actually, the way that the stoplight's positioned there, the kids actually do use the stoplight that's in front of the it's just the one to the north of the McDonald's. That's where the kids all cross.
The crosswalk one?
Yeah.
What kind of food is he selling?
It's Japanese. And I did try it. It's really good. And it's food's here really good. You what?
I'll vouch for that as well.
It's really good food. I have yet to have bad food from him. It's really good.
I think we should taste it before we decide if it's permitted use or not.
Is that what he's selling here?
No. This is. You should go try that out in here. It's really good. It's more sandwiches, salads. It's good though.
But same guy.
Try it. It's good.
Same guy. Yeah.
He needed a location. I understand. He needed a location, food prep location for his food truck. So.
Yeah.
That's what.
So now, remind me why we didn't let the person come to the Harts parking lot.
They were on the street,
and we don't allow it on the public street.
But I thought we also didn't allow them on the Harts property either.
Harts didn't want them.
Well, Harts didn't want them
on their property.
Okay.
So that's why they were on the street, but we don't allow them on the street.
Gotcha.
So where Harts wouldn't make the agreement like Chase Bank has, it just didn't work out.
We did give them one for the Lexington Heights.
Which they never used.
But we
did grant it, yeah.
Okay, back to the safety issue just a little. Obviously, they're already crossing the street. I get that. They're just going to eat in the parking lot or else carry it back to the school with them. Is that the intent?
Yeah. There's not an eating area. I guess there's some grass that they could sit on, but there's really not at a park-like
Will he have table. Adequate garbage cans available?
Yeah. He would be responsible for on-site cleanup. He's been a part of the food truck rally that the city's had down at Heritage Park, and honestly, they have been really, really good about cleaning up. That was one of the concerns that staff and the council had in starting the food truck rally, was who's going to come clean up, because I don't want to come out there at 9 o'clock at night and clean up all the leftovers. But they've actually been really good. So they understand that's part of the agreement.
Any other discussion?
We have to put a time limit or range on this conditional use?
That's between Chase Bank and King.
Yeah.
But so it's we could give 6 months at a time, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they would have to come back and reapply. So we would probably let this one run through the end of the school year and then have them reapply.
So May.
May, yeah.
First of June. Okay.
We apply a motion.
Okay. I move that we approve the conditional use permit for the Genki food truck to operate in the SC1 zone Chase Bank parking lot.
Until
until the end of May 2016.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any against?
Did we vote on accepting the agenda?
Yes.
Right, motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just
We're always excited to get food trucks. If it's all the same with the commission, I would like to sit down for this portion of the discussion so that I can
look at stuff.
Make notes.
Yeah,
just kidding. I'll stay.
You don't want to stand up there and make notes? All in favor? We want to make a motion.
I move that Chandler sit down during this portion of the discussion.
Yeah, we got to be done.
All right. Agenda item number 5. Discussion on guidelines for design review of planned commercial development project. Go, Chandler.
Okay, I sent out the red lines to everybody for what we've talked about. I've got received a couple people's feedback. I'd like to I'm hoping that you guys took the time to go through the red lines and see what I missed. If there's anything, please send it to me. Otherwise, let's dive in. Let me open up my file here. And then I know we're going to talk about density. So, Jeff, I know you're going to send something out, but I don't recall ever seeing that. Do you recall what you were going to write up about density?
Oh, I sent it to you.
Maybe I didn't get it.
It's a 3-meg file.
That could be why.
And all my markets. I've got a hard copy.
You know what? Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Did you send it to everybody or just Chandler?
I can't remember whether I was.
Let me look at my email. Hold on.
I thought I replied all.
Nope. I got it.
You got it?
I got it. I apologize.
Is this your red lines that you had done, your additional ads?
I did mine in blue. Do you have that?
Right.
Did you guys
get this
that?
This was sent out to the entire commission.
Yes.
So can we talk about that? And then I have one thing I needed to get clarification on. But before we go into Jeff's, I would like to clean up. In the red lines that I sent out, I have a highlighted portion. And it's just to draw attention to it because I had questions about this. The first highlight states that in the mixed-use office, it says also any retail uses in this area. That's the area that's adjacent to the neighborhood. It's the Charleston, Lexington Heights, that church that's there. It talks about any retail uses in this area shall help create a transition from the more intense uses to the other areas to the surrounding residential neighborhoods. So it talks about having retail in this neighborhood, but in the conditional use table that we proposed, we did not allow for retail in that zone. So I guess the question I have, and it's a quick one, do we want to suggest having retail in that zone, or do we want to leave it as office, as medical professional, that type of what it is right now?
My opinion is you allow retail. It's a commercial zone, and
okay.
You should allow retail as well as office. I mean, they both should be permissible.
I mean, my opinion is that you'd have to limit it. I mean, you wouldn't want any drive-through or drive-up like gas station, anything like that. Not that it would fit anyways, but
no.
those kinds of.
So I think when you talk about retail in this zone, you'd want to add language that says in this office sub-district that the retail is sensitive to the adjacent neighborhoods, and we'll want to define what that means.
Yeah.
Yes,
because being sensitive
is not a good word to use.
No, well,
yeah.
Well, if we use it, whatever word we use, we want to be very clear about what we mean about what types of retail are allowed there.
Because is it going to be much different than the mixed-use office retail?
But the mixed-use office retail allows for just about every type of retail.
Except for the ones that's on the neighborhood retail. Because, I mean, it doesn't specifically say that the types of businesses located in this one are different than the types of businesses located in the mixed-use office, because it says, along with office uses, limited retail includes specialty shops, dance, fitness, self-defense. But up here, it includes grocery stores. Neighborhood retail areas include grocery stores, personal service establishments, dry cleaners, bakeries, restaurants. So are we going to further define the mixed-use office to be something different than the mixed-use office retail?
That's what I'm hearing. It almost sounds like retail. We have a definition section, which I think is a good idea. And our first word under that is retail. We give a general definition of retail, but we're already digging in to what retail is and differentiating it in the subzones. Yeah. So it almost sounds like under retail, we need to define retail three times.
Yes.
Okay. So maybe in the use table, rather than having just retail and conditional use, conditional use, conditional use, it's retail and then each zone is listed. Or I don't know how you want to do that. We don't want to get back into the problem of
making
listing
the table.
Every possible type of retail we can think of.
Yeah.
I think it would, my thought is it'd have to do with access. If you can park and walk to it, fine. It's not going to be a drive-in, drive-through kind of retail.
No car washes, no drive-through banks.
Drive-through banks, drive-through restaurants.
You could limit the hours.
Stations, that kind of thing.
Limit the hours to not being a 24-hour operation, for example.
It does go on to further define it, saying commercial uses that are not focused on generating on-site sales should be encouraged to utilize properties that do not front 4800 West and the County Road. So I'm thinking that that means the mixed-use office retail and the mixed-use office. So not on-site sales. I don't know how that is not a specialty shop, but
are you reading from 3.1.3?
3.1.2.
But that's
in 3.1.1.
Yeah.
Right. But right now 3.1.1 and 3.1.2, we allow for most every type of retail.
Right.
It's the 3.1.3 where the Charleston and the Lexington Heights and the church there, what types of retail?
The mixed use office currently is full.
I know, but
right now. I know, but it could change.
It can change.
That's what I'm just saying.
I know it's full, and this may be a redundant
for their benefit that it's currently full.
Right. So let's just play a what if game. I hate what if games, but church goes out of business. And they mow it down, and well, somebody comes in and wants to build retail
all the time.
Boy Scouts successfully.
So, what are we tolerating there on that corner? Hmm. It's a 2-acre piece.
You could define it as what can go there is what was previously there. Just throwing it out there is a wild idea. So another church could go there.
What if they want to do it like the old white church, if they want to do it?
Your
reception center.
The goal is to augment the tax base. They didn't do it.
So what part of the definition that exists today do we have a problem with?
I don't know.
Isn't it fine the way it is?
Well, I just think that we need, under 3.1.3, if we're going to allow retail in the mixed-use office, we need to define what type of retail, especially in this sub-district, what type of retail. Well,
it's that kind of retail that helps create a transition.
Oh, that?
From a more intense to other areas.
Well,
that's defined.
If you walk across the street, you feel an intense feeling.
You feel the intensity decrease.
You don't want to spend your money immediately.
Well, that's not going to help anybody.
That would make a really popular business.
Do we want to add any language there to more clearly define what type of retail we're talking about?
Well, limited retail use, you could kind of, is it this, I don't want to make it the same as this other subzone, but.
Just say subject to Planning Commission approval. Just put that in there.
Okay, well, think about it.
That's all it's good.
Think about it. Let's go to Jeff's changes. Do you want to go over those, Jeff?
Sure. So all I did, if you go back to the table of contents, probably the easiest place for me to make it clear what I did. I just, under each of our subzones, I added a maximum density section. And it can be 4.2.6 if you like. I just put it early in the section so that we talk about it right away and then get into the more particulars. So you got 422, 432, and 442 as the maximum density section. And then based on our conditional use table, we allow care centers in office retail and mixed-use office. So all the second and third subzones allow care center. So we need to, care centers. So we need to find a way, in my opinion, to regulate density of care centers in our second and third subzone. We currently, based on this conditional use table, don't make any mention of residential anymore. And one of my overriding questions is, what do we want to do about that? I've heard from some individuals who suggested maybe we don't allow residential anywhere in our commercial zone. We allow it elsewhere. Maybe we don't allow it at all in our commercial zone. City of Lehigh doesn't allow residential, if I remember right, in their commercial zone.
They don't even allow a mixed use?
I don't think so. I talked to their planner, and it's just not an issue for them because they don't allow it in there. And I've made sure to clarify, you're not talking about senior care. And she said, no, that's totally separate.
And in our case, it's totally separate as well right now.
It is, and as you all know, we've talked about this before, we allow both multifamily residential and senior care of some kind, whether it's assisted living or, as we've now said, congregate care in our commercial zone. But we don't regulate in any way, shape, or form how many units can be built within our commercial zone other than building setbacks, height restrictions.
We create the box,
and they can cram as many units
in there.
The box
on the top, the sides.
We don't tell them how big or small those units can be, so they can just put as many one-bedroom or efficiencies in there as they want to. And frankly, in our commercial zone, even on the second and third floor, they can still put as much multifamily residential as they can cram in to those, based on their pro forma. I just think as a city, we need to have, and I think you all agree, we need to have a way to control that in some way, shape, or form. And that wasn't considered when the guidelines were first written because we were not nearly as developed as we are now as a community.
Don't we indirectly do that with the parking requirements, though?
Parking helps. That's right.
So we could tighten up parking, without necessarily changing our density requirements either.
I don't know if it would go far enough. And the only reason I say that is right now we've got in our commercial zone a development that we've pushed through because it meets our guidelines. That is at 34, 35 units per acre. And it's got adequate parking. It fits within the box, and it's frankly a very, very large.
The question is on the parking though. It's hard to say adequate parking though because if it was an apartment complex, that parking is not adequate. If it's a senior care center, then based on their argument in the traffic study, the parking is adequate based on other similar facilities. So. Parking could be a way to go if we think about it because we do require two off-street parkings for every single family residential house. And if you made that same requirement, then you're...
And you still have to have 30%.
You're not allowing one room to one parking stall or one room to half a parking stall.
The only concern I have is, do we want all this parking?
No. And the design guidelines state that, though. That's the problem, is that you don't want open seas of parking lot. It's pretty clear about that, in my opinion.
I agree with the fact that we make the box. We also require a certain amount of parking. We also require a certain amount of landscaping, and that starts to restrict how much they can develop. But again, as we've seen here just recently, you could still put an awful lot of units in our commercial zone on a per acre basis. In my opinion, it's way too many, and we need to find a way that says this is what Cedar Hills would allow.
One, in a previous version of the design guidelines, it was amended and changed, but in a previous version from, I don't know, 8 to 10 years ago, there was a square footage requirement or square footage max given.
Of the building?
Of the building.
That was pulled out before Walmart came back the second time.
Yeah, so it's been about 10 years.
I like the idea of capping it at a certain number of units, but I don't know what that number should be.
Yeah, and believe me,
that's
I
hard
made this
me.
That's
hard
that's
for me to figure
last
out.
Time. I'm not saying I've got the right numbers. I put numbers in here based on PG, I think, is where I got it. PG and Lehigh, maybe a hybrid. But that's something we need to talk about. If we decide we want to do numbers, we need to figure out what those numbers ought to be.
Yeah. Well, the question I have when I looked at that for you, Chandler, was because the current occupants of that type of facility exceed that. Is that...
Say it again.
Because the Charleston exceeds the what we're talking about, 24 units per acre. They exceed that. I mean, does that cause any problems if we make it more restrictive for subsequent developments?
I don't think
so. Should have a problem for the current.
No, because they would be grandfathered in under their current density.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the current. But if they walk away and someone else comes back and says,
well, they sell the building to somebody else, they have to get a conditional use.
Yeah, if they sold the building, let's say they sold the building.
No, I'm talking about if this developer walks away and someone comes in under our new guidelines after we get this fixed. Is that a problem to make it more restrictive?
I don't think so. Any document that we create will be vetted by the city's legal counsel.
You think it would be quite
But I don't see that being a problem. Because the city can say, oh, you know what, we probably made a mistake on granting this density here. We're going to tighten that up. I think that that's well within the city's ability to do that.
I haven't seen anything that would contradict that. I just didn't know because I'm not.
I would
think
be surprised.
I think it opens the door for all sorts of issues. You know, somebody really wants to put something in, and we've granted somebody else that's something, but we're denying them that something.
But if there's an ordinance that's been changed or a code that's been changed, then the city's only held to its current code.
Barbed wire fence isn't permitted anymore, but it's grandfathered in because it was there before the fencing ordinance was passed.
I'm just saying it could open up issues.
I think we already have issues with ambiguous definitions.
Yes.
So I would say, to my opinion, is to get the number.
And like I said, anything regarding the city's ability to tighten the restrictions would be vetted by the city's legal counsel before this became an official
document. I think David's right.
A discussion will come up.
But I think we'll have a leg to stand on or whatever the commission is if we've got something in writing now.
Yeah. Right.
We can make the box. We can make the parking. Can we regulate the size of the unit inside the box? I mean, so it has to be a minimum of 800 square feet per person or whatever that we decide, and then we can, you know, tighten it that way. Because I think if we get into, and I know, was it Lehigh that did have that density requirement?
I think it's PG is where
so,
I mean, numbers.
Throwing that number out could be a liability, but if we have other ways of doing it without necessarily putting a number on it, and then we would have some flexibility too.
I think the city could, off the top of my head, I think we could, because we make square footage requirements on homes and single family dwelling units in the residential zone as it stands. It's like we say the main floor must have 1,400 square feet of livable space, excluding driveways.
But that number would have to be based on something.
Right.
We couldn't just pull that number
out. A fire code, building code, all that. It's out there. We can find it.
Right.
There's also what developers want to build, right? What does the market want? I mean, you can't just put a number there that then becomes unsustainable because no developer in the world would ever build a building with that size of a unit, right? Because they
will be sued for having too restrictive.
So.
Well, I mean, that's the rub of making any changes right now. We've got to find a way to make our guidelines enforce what our community wants, at the same time remaining attractive for the developers that we want to come into our community. And you know, I don't know exactly what that is, but I'm proposing something so that mm-hmm. we can talk about it.
I think the concept's right. I just don't know what the number is. Okay. So I think that's my opinion.
I think that the units per acre is the easiest way to do it.
Me too. I agree.
Units per acre.
What?
Units per acre on the development itself.
Yes.
Or on the site of the building itself, on that parcel.
On that parcel, yes.
Right, not...
No. Because there's ways to wiggle around that, so to speak. So you could take Rosegate, for example, and say, well, it's the project area is 11.4 acres, but really the building sits on 8.5. So do you take the units per acre on the 8.5, or do you take the units per acre on the 11.4?
Well, there was language in Pleasant Grove's right. code that addressed that.
Which I put in here.
Which is in Jeff's changes.
Right.
Okay.
So that's why in the first sub-district, 4.2.2, I believe that's right. So 4.2.2 only talks about residential because we don't allow care centers in our neighborhood retail development. So, but I do address residential, assuming that we still leave residential as in our commercial zone. I made that assumption. We can pull that out if we decide we don't want to do residential anymore. Then when you get to 4.3.2 and 4.4.2, I put in regulations for both residential and care centers.
I see.
And Chandler, I just grabbed your definition of care centers and used that. I just referenced back to your definition for what we're trying to regulate in terms of number of units per acre.
Was that the care center definition that's found previous in the document?
That's correct.
Yes. I think that's the definition this body kind of massaged, came to an agreement on.
Yeah, so I didn't want to be redundant and I didn't want to...
No, that's the best way to do that.
Yeah, so I just refer back to your definition. We can change that if we want to globally, but...
I don't know if I want to call it my definition, but...
Yeah.
I see what you're going for.
And then again, the numbers I'm using, I pulled from looking at both Lehigh and PG. We talked about... how do we be not so arbitrary in our selection of numbers? And it seemed to me, looking at the communities adjacent to us, seemed to be the way to find the most relevant information that we should use as a community.
Let me ask you this. I see you go from 8 units per acre in the mixed use to 12 in the office.
Right, and you made the point it's supposed to actually get less dense.
Yeah, that's where
so
I was
probably
going.
Ought to go the other way.
Well,
so
should not, flip. Not less dense. It's the usage is supposed to be less, and a residential use is less intense than a retail use.
But you could argue that more units per acre is a more intense use.
Well, it's not the intense use of having Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I was just pointing that out as right. a matter of discussion.
But, that's that usage is also it has to be balanced against the tax base. And so the reason we have less in the mixed-use retail is because we want to discourage residential and encourage commercial, whereas as we go the other way, that's not necessarily...
I see.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is that in the first two subzones, they're only allowed on the second and third floor.
Correct.
Whereas in the third subzone, they're allowed on the first, second, and third floor. So you would naturally, you could develop essentially the same unit in all three zones, but develop 4 more units on that first floor. Because they're only allowed as ancillary to retail or retail and office in the first two subzones. So that's why I say 8 units, because you can only develop the second and third floor. And then I allow 12 units in the third subzone, because you can do it as a basically a standalone multifamily residential development.
But it wouldn't be in the office subzone, we wouldn't allow a standalone multifamily building.
We do currently, I believe.
Charleston.
Single family, no, like apartment.
Not single family, multifamily. Attached units.
Attached units.
We say as an independent development. Footnote
5 as an independent. Yeah.
So that tells me it doesn't have to be ancillary to anything.
Where are you looking?
Where are you?
So go to the current. Go to the current table.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
So we allow residential in all three subzones. The difference is in the third subzone, we allow it as an independent development. Okay. Whereas in the first two, it has to be ancillary to retail or retail office. And only allowed on the second and third floor. Which I clarify in that blue text below the footnotes on page 9. Because I don't think it's very clear.
Is that something that this body wants to continue?
And that's kind of my overall question is, do we want to continue allowing residential? And the only argument I see for it, a couple things, and I know everybody's got some thoughts on this. I think when the guidelines were written, we were looking to develop multi-story buildings in our commercial zone. We find that more attractive. We get more revenue out of that. It's selling the same square footage multiple times, Frank Lloyd Wright used to say. So if we don't allow something that's attractive to a developer on a second and third floor, we may end up with just single-story retail because they can't sell the second and third floor unless we feel we can get enough office use into our commercial zone. So residential, I think, was allowed in there as an alternative to whatever else a developer could do on a second and third floor in order to encourage development of multi-story buildings.
And all of the proposals that have come in the 9 years I've been here have included a residential component.
My thought is, my opinion is, yes, you allow residential in the zone. And I think that's if you view the whole overarching concept of the whole premise of what this is supposed to be like, it's supposed to be a mix of residential and commercial, symbiotic.
I do not disagree with you. I agree that residential is going to be a component of those two sub-districts. My question is, having residential as a standalone building in the office subzone. I can see where you're coming from on, we want to encourage these multi-story units. So you have second and third stories is residential, but you want the first floor to be semi-commercial in some nature, whether that's, a dental office or, I don't know.
Yeah. We just continue to be in.
Go ahead.
Do we have anything currently within the city limits that has residential above commercial? Nothing
currently
built that way.
No.
We don't.
No, it's either else.
Because we don't have our commercial zone so small.
Right.
So you could just strike conditional, or you could just strike assisted living centers altogether from the list, right?
Right.
Wait. Now you're lost.
Just strike assisted living centers off the chart.
No, but we've already. There's a difference though between an assisted living facility and a single family
apartment building.
Multifamily building. There's a big difference there though.
And one's a protected class.
One's a protected class. One has zero impact on the schools and pretty much no traffic. The other one has a large impact on the schools, large traffic impact, large impact on city resources. To compare them, I think is very unfair.
But that group's also spends a lot of money, right?
But it's not a protected class.
Yes, sales tax revenue from those kind of people.
Yeah. I guess in a marginal roundabout way, yes. sorry to just beat the hammer here, but when you say as an independent development you're allowing residential, the way I'm reading that's apartment building.
Mixed with retail.
That's apartment building.
It's mixed with retail, right? I mean,
it's five, footnote five, and it says simply as an independent development. And when I'm thinking independent development, I'm thinking multifamily, high density housing. And in high density, it's the highest density you can have in that zone.
I'm just
saying
the concept here.
Apartment building. That's I just described.
Residential is permitted as long as it's combined with the retail. Well,
but that's not what it's saying.
That's what we're talking about changing.
Are we arguing the same point?
Yeah, I think we are. Yes.
All right.
Let's
strike him.
Just a thought. Strike five and move, and where five is, change that to a four.
Yep.
I'm glad we're on the same page now.
We're on the same page. So you talked him into it.
I was just getting heartburn about an apartment building.
What about townhomes?
What's that?
Because you could put, the way it's written now, you could put townhomes in that buffer area, right? Between, you know, on between the regular residential and the commercial. You could put townhomes.
Right now.
The way right, it's, now. Right now.
Yes.
And actually, that could be very nice.
It could be a nice transition from residential.
Condos, townhomes.
Yeah. Something owner.
Okay, you know,
something owner occupied versus.
Then the option is to go with Jeff's language and just limit the number of units per acre. Because you can't build, you're not going to build a big giant apartment building with 12 units per acre. That's not a big apartment. That's a little apartment. So I mean, well, that would allow townhouses, but not the apartment building.
And you could do the square footage. I mean, you could townhome and a condo.
Well, an attached single family is much different than multifamily, and so you know having an attached single family, which would be townhomes or shared garage access kind of thing, is totally different than stacked on top of each other, you know, rabbit hutched kind of apartments.
And we are just talking about that zone that is fully built out now.
Right.
Yes.
But, you know, the church sells their buildings and they get torn down and turned into other stuff when they get old.
So, I mean... It's unlikely
I'll
to be, occur in the I'll next
be,
decade.
I'll be dead, but...
Yeah, there you go.
So you're right. It's kind of a moot point. But
it is, but it isn't. I mean, you know, things happen.
Things happen, right?
Things happen.
So we either change it to a footnote 4 now that we've allowed retail into the third subzone. Footnote 4 would work, or we leave it at it as is, but define what that what type of either somehow define what that independent development can be. Now, does that run against the purpose for our commercial zone if we're building
yes.
residential as an independent development, or we're trying to create revenue?
The answer is yes.
Yes.
So maybe we do want to just change it to footnote 4.
If you're reading the mixed-use office description, it's to provide a buffer to existing or future single-family residential areas through landscaping, setbacks, building heights, and land uses. Do you buffer by matching what's already there or putting in a higher density residential? I mean, I think it would look nice if it was condos. I think that would be a nice transition, but most people I talk to are proposing apartment buildings. They're easier.
I still think townhomes still affect yeah. traffic.
It does. No, I think it has the exact same effect.
So?
Traffic and city resources.
Yeah.
So do we want to just match or use a footnote 4 there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You've spoken.
That makes the committee happy. It's a good idea.
Is that what you wanted? I didn't hear from you. You didn't say yes or no on that.
Sure, yes. It makes the committee happy. It makes me happy.
Now, how do we then reference residential in our conditional use table? Right now,
that's true. It's
we don't have those footnotes anywhere.
Do you want to take those? We can take those footnotes and just place them under each. What is it? It's 3 point.
Yeah, I make some suggestions in my markups.
You take those sentences, the footnote, and rather than having a footnote, put it in 3.1.1, 3.1.2, and 3.1.3, where it's in the description of the subdistrict.
You could. Well, it's not a footnote anymore.
No, it's part of the text.
But where do we indicate? Well, it's part of the text. Should that somehow cross reference with our table, though?
We don't have much of a table left.
No.
The table's been.
Does it come under other uses not defined? Do we just say residential? Is it enough to just put it in the text, I guess is my question.
You could footnote the other use is not defined and use the existing footnotes.
What I suggested was
there.
You could attach footnote 3 to the C next to retail under neighborhood retail subdistrict. Hmm. So it'd be C footnote 3. Under neighborhood retail.
Okay.
Then you can attach footnote 4 next to professional services, and next to retail under mixed-use office, the second zone.
Okay.
And then I guess we would do the same thing under office, mixed-use office. I didn't have that in my notes. So...
Okay, the footnotes would probably need to be changed.
Did you see how I... Well, changed from what I wrote, perhaps. Did you see what I changed them to?
In blue?
In the...
Is the blue your writing?
Blue is my writing.
Let me read that more carefully.
Do we read it?
Initially, they only said on the second floor.
They're,
but we're allowing three-story buildings.
Right. So
graphs here.
So when it...
go ahead. Finesse that.
11?
You said not on the first floor.
A previous footnote said when ancillary to retail, this is what you do.
Right.
And to me, that says when it's not ancillary to retail, you don't have to do that.
Right.
So I changed it to attached residential dwelling units, or whatever we want to call them, shall be considered only when ancillary to retail use. And I kept the definition of ancillary, 50%, less than 50% of the structure, and shall not be permitted on the first level of the building. I don't say second and third floor or anything. You just can't put them on the first level.
Right.
Because the number of stories is regulated elsewhere. And then I made a suggestion as to where we could put the footnotes. And I think number four is the same deal.
Right.
So are you saying that the building should have 50% or more residential?
Less.
50% or less. Yeah. Is that by square footage?
I'm reading it the other way around.
If your first floor is retail and your second and third floors are residential, it's 65%. 66%. So does the percentage matter as long as the first story is commercial?
That's a fair question. So
that's
far...
I thought that's all we're going for.
I used the guideline that was there before, but I think you make a good... That's a good question.
I think if we limit it to not on the first floor, I think we're good.
Maybe that's...
Because they can't be taller than three stories. So
we've
defined a pretty good box.
And what's already there is only two-story, right?
It's two to three. It's allowed to be three, so you could have a second.
But we don't have any of this three yet.
Not yet, no.
Okay.
No. That's a good segue into that topic, because I noticed we are now only allowing two-story buildings, according to the blue text.
What? Where?
What are you talking about?
I gotta find it again.
Maybe I got a typo.
Are you looking at?
I saw that too. Where is
that? Yeah, it's in 4.2, I think.
4.2.
Let me find it again. 4.3.
4.3.
4.43.
Yeah, 4.4 only allows up to two stories, I believe.
So 4.43, it says within the permitted one to two stories.
Right. Right, because the first sentence, one and two-story buildings are permitted.
That's that zone that's built out.
This is extra.
That's the third zone.
That's always been.
So we didn't change that.
Okay.
If you go back to
4.3, it's just the office.
3.
Yeah, 4.43 is the Charleston, Lexington Heights Church.
Right. We figured out. You're saying in 4.32, residential, a maximum density of 8 attached residential dwelling units per acre. And that's got to be ancillary to the retail. So, you know, that's really limiting the density. I mean, you can build a second and third floor, but at 8 units per acre,
right,
you're pretty limited. So I think that addresses the density issue.
Uh-huh. This is my emphasis in this discussion. I must have a long version.
Yeah, I mean, anybody see any issue with that? Because that's been our problem up to this point, is there's been no... It's been less dense, more dense.
No, it's,
right.
But no definition of what is dense.
Well, that's a definite definition, though.
But now we have numbers, 8 units.
Yeah, it's defined.
It's defined, so... Makes me happy.
What is the Charleston's density?
34.
So,
I mean, right away, proposing a cut 10 units per acre, which would have meant Rosegate came in at around 170, 180. What was their acreage?
They would have been still at about 200.
Yeah.
Well, based on this current definition, which requires that the only acreage they can count
be 8. It'd be 8.4 times
so it'd be 24.
It's still going to be 201 units. So still.
So roughly a deduction of almost 100 units.
Yeah, but not too many. You're looking at a third of the size.
Are we going to define it as units per on the footprint or on the whole thing?
Per acre.
Units per acre, and we just sweated it's the language as I'm reading it, as Jeff's written it, it's that parcel. That tax parcel.
Okay.
For developed acre, right?
Oh, yeah, ancillary. Right.
So you would take the part, you'd take the Charleston, and rather than taking the whole 11.4, you'd only use the 8.5 acres. Is that how
you're saying? Would you say developed acre? How would you say
that's the way I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah, that's how it's written. It's.
And are we okay with 24? I mean, 200 units is still a lot of units.
200 units brings that building down by a third.
It does.
I like it. That sounds about right. But
again, trying to find that balance. But where developers pro forma is still going to work, that they want to come to Cedar Hills and develop the developers we want. Is that the right
number?
But I don't want to sound mercenary, but do we care?
Well, and that's and that's not a bad point.
We care about how many people are down there, but do we care if it meets the developers' needs?
Yeah. I mean,
if this is what the city has set out as its vision.
We do want to attract people to our community.
You do. You don't want to set up barriers to development, but at the same time, you don't want to end up with something that you didn't want to begin with.
That's right.
Right.
So I apologize for...
We have to define what we want, essentially.
That's right.
I mean, what we want is unrealistic to attract any development at all. That's
until...
We know what we want now. It sounds like we just know what we don't want.
I mean, we want commercial development, right? Like, we want retail. We want tax base. We want,
but not
somewhere to eat. Those are the things that we want, right?
Right, but not all properties are created equal.
It's a problem.
And retail, and, commercial only fits in where it works, or they can make money. They're only going to come where they can make money.
Sure. But chopping that... the only thing they have to compare it to is the current thing we're comparing it to, and then chops it down by a third. I mean, that sounds like it's progress, anyway, in the right direction. Because the public is kind of asked for something of less scale, right? I mean,
there are a couple ways you can go. You could take their same building footprint, chop the top floor off, and that's a lot more attractive. It becomes shorter than Lexington Heights, Walmart, and the Charleston. That's not bad. Or you make three smaller buildings that are three stories. That's not bad. There are viable options there but not necessarily financially viable.
Right. There's some point where
we don't. We're not qualified to know that, right? We don't know.
No. Well, yeah.
I don't know.
No, but we can make assumptions.
Sure.
I mean, if we're forcing the developer to cut down to three buildings, then we've automatically increased his costs by a certain percentage. Because rather than having one water meter to the facility, he has three now. Rather than having one sewer lateral, he has three. His costs have tripled. He has three entryways rather than single entryways. So his costs for development have just gone up threefold. If we're saying that you could develop into three stories or into three buildings... because I thought the same thing, but there are barriers there
costs.
Too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think about this too much.
At some point, there's going to be something besides congregate care that wants to come in here, though.
Yeah.
There will be some kind of commercial venture that, sells something. And, we want to make it enticing for them, too. Long term. I mean, right now
we're very focused on the density of the aspect. But like, if somebody came in with a retail option, density is not even an issue, though.
Right.
I mean, because let's say Big Lots wanted to come in, just threw it
out
there.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. A really high scale development store, store.
Like a Dollar Tree or something.
Dollar Tree.
So, I mean, we're not even having a discussion about density in that case, because. How many of them have residential attached anyway?
I think we should go with the 24 number and move on to the next agenda item.
Okay, let's do it.
I don't have any problem with it. If someone's got problems with it, let's
go with them.
Okay. So what's next, Chandler?
I saw something. Hold on, let me find it again.
The density is probably the biggest thing to have.
Well, it's the most vague. I mean, we've got it for landscaping. We have percentages. We have plants.
There's
we have
spacing.
There's ignore any formatting.
Okay.
Let's just ignore it.
Did we define
what the I'll get it right eventually.
Definition of what?
Can we talk?
I actually have a question. 4.4.1.
Okay.
4.1?
Building setback. Okay, that was actually where I was going.
4.1. Okay. The way it's written now says 30, and then in parentheses, 45.
Oh, sorry, that's another clerical error.
Which one is it?
It's 45. We had discussed 45 feet as the setback in, it was the...
Both mixed use and
yes.
The office. Was it mixed use and the office?
Yes.
So that should reflect the same changes in 4.3.1.
Yeah.
Say, okay, so
you make note of that.
So this is 45.
Kevin, 4.3.1.
We have a definition for what a residential unit is now that we're using that language anywhere. Is that maybe it's in the zoning code already, maybe? Or?
A residential unit?
It's any residential zone.
I don't know if we have somebody's code book.
Number
right here.
Yeah, sure.
I know we have a definition for single family. Family dwelling. Okay, here's the definitions. It says dwelling, multiple family, a building containing three or more dwelling units. Dwelling single family would be a detached residence designed for or occupied by one family, but not including hotels, motels, or bed and breakfast facilities. Single family dwellings may include accessory apartments. Dwelling two family, a building containing two dwelling units, and then a dwelling unit is defined as one or more rooms in a building designed for living purposes, bathing, eating, and sleeping, and occupied by one family.
Is there anything about it has to meet building code or residential building code or something like that?
Not to my knowledge, but it does. Any building permit that does come in is subject to the building code.
All right, thank you.
Did you want to tie that down anymore? I mean, I would be reluctant to have two definitions that aren't exactly the same in this case.
Yeah. I don't know how I would change it.
Would you change any of those definitions?
I don't know. You think there's something not congruent there?
No, I think they're simple and to the point. Multifamily is three or more.
Yep.
Dual family is two, and single family is one. It's mathematically it matches up.
So did you have any other issues that you were...
Looking at,
trying to think if I did or not.
I don't know that I did. I wanted to talk about that retail. Whose code book do I have here?
Mine.
I still.
Were we going to talk about the Xeriscape?
Yeah, somebody.
I want to talk about that. There's also on 4.4.3.
Structure height?
Yeah, the last sentence that you added, structures within the mixed use office subdistrict shall conform the maximum height standards of the adjacent residential zones.
Yeah.
I thought we had heights.
That's actually language. That's actually language that's already in design guidelines.
Yeah.
I moved it.
Okay.
But I would prefer that it had its own height requirement.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think that the 30 feet is probably more restrictive than the adjacent residential zones.
It is.
Because our residential zones all allow for 35 feet high. Finished front grade, average two, top of roof.
So we just strike that sentence?
I think it needs to be struck, but then do we want to make the change there to 35 feet so it's the same?
Hold on, is it?
It's two sentences above it, isn't it?
Two sentences above it says 35 feet.
Yeah, right. But it can be increased more than 35 feet.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you say it could go up to 50 feet at some point with like the cornices?
That's
and
in
the...
that's 4.3.
Right. But not in 4.4.
Okay, sorry.
So it says 30 feet. It says maximum of 30 feet, and then it can go to maximum of 40 if they set it back further.
Within the permitted 1 to 2 stories.
Yeah, but it's allowing them.
That's 5 feet more than the
planning commission may increase required setback for me.
Yeah,
that's true. Oh man.
So they're allowing it's allowing 40.
It's allowing 40
with setback.
With setback increase.
Mm-hmm.
But that setback increase.
Yeah. The thing is, as narrow as that zone is, you start setting back much, you're setting yourself right out of the zone. It's a tall, skinny building.
Didn't you do a quick check on Google Maps or something to see what the Charleston is set back currently?
It was 45, I think.
It is 45.
About 45, yeah. Just scaling up.
I mean, it's ballpark, but it's
yeah,
close.
About 45, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you can do something in that zone there.
What's that?
So the point is you can do something in that zone with 45 feet as a setback.
Right.
I added one other thing, switching sections. 412E, see it in blue at the bottom of page 11. I wanted to reiterate that so that all the buildings within the proposed development may be seen within a park-like setting by the community, the required 30% landscaping shall be visible to the public way in its entirety and shall not be concealed by walls, fences, building, layout, etc. And I mentioned public way versus public because what we're saying is we want it visible from the street, sidewalk, you know. You can invite the public inside your building and say that it's visible to the public. I don't want any ambiguity there. We're saying the public way.
This would have to allow the Charleston to be grandfathered in then.
Right.
Okay. I mean, all of the landscaping is not going to be visible in all cases. But the majority of it should be. That should be the aim and the intent of the landscaping.
We're pressuring them here to make all of it visible. We'll review a site plan, landscape plan, and we can approve it if we want to. But this gives us a leg to stand on in enforcing that.
All right. Any other thoughts on that?
I like it.
I like it.
Can we talk about Xeriscape then?
Yeah.
What is that?
Just kidding. It's rocks.
Yeah. Rocks.
Wet rocks.
Isn't that just gravel?
Rocks and cacti.
Okay.
We had talked about allowing for Xeriscape to be a third of the landscaped area, so it really wouldn't come out to be any more than 10% of the total project area.
It's actually quite beautiful when it's done right.
When it's done right. And did we require that it would be done by a landscape architect?
Yes.
We did.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we did.
And I object. I think people should have the rights to
landscape. No, but here's the thing, though. We require all the landscape plans require the landscape plan right now to be done by a landscape architect.
In the commercial zone.
In the commercial zone. This is only for the commercial zone. When they turn in a landscape plan, it's done by a landscape architect. This isn't changing anything from what we do now. It's just adding it into language.
Well, reiterating it.
Nonetheless, I mean, what if a business wants to come here and the business owner feels like they got, you know, a little bit of landscape capabilities and design, but they're not a licensed architect? They're still going to make them get a licensed architect?
Yeah, I think they would. No. Yeah, we have so many provisions in our guidelines about landscape. I mean, we have so much ambiguity in other areas, but one area there's not ambiguity in is the landscape. Mm-hmm.
I think we should move on. I'm just saying I want to voice my.
Okay. Does anybody else feel that way? I mean,
I think I'm the only one, I think.
I mean, I would go with the certified landscaper because we're talking about larger parcels here, and there's going to be erosion issues and other things. And if somebody doesn't think that out and plan it out the way it should be, then you're going to end up with some, you know, nasty drainage problems and all those things. So it's got to be built into the site plan, and I think that's probably part of it. And, right. And the Xeriscape is just saying, you know, there are some pieces of this that don't have to necessarily have live stuff in it. You know, you can make it pretty without putting live stuff in it, right? You can do rocks and other things and, you know, make sure that there's some alternatives than planting trees.
Yes, if you look at section I, it says as part of this is the existing guideline. As part of the site plan approval process, landscape plan shall be required. Such plans shall be prepared by a professional landscape architect licensed in the state of Utah. So we already require it.
Are there Xeriscape licensed architects, or is that a specialty?
It's just part of landscaping. My understanding is you just.
And it even says architect. Qualified, not licensed.
The difference is, I mean, we require this, you know, 30% of the development to be landscaped, and this is just saying part of that can be, you know, drought resistant or rocks or that kind of thing versus planted in trees. That's all that this is allowing for, I think. Right?
Yeah.
I think this building outside is a good example.
But we haven't defined what's considered xeriscape anywhere, right?
No, that was what I was going to get into. If you go down to the plant palette, I put drought tolerant vegetation. My inclination is to just use language or the list that I know the state has a list, or like the Central Utah Water, they have they have kind of some information on drought tolerant vegetation, and just taking the plants from there. I am not a botanist. If anybody drove by my house, they'd figure that out real quick. But so I don't feel like I'm qualified to create a list there. I would take the list from somebody else, unless somebody else here feels strongly in a different way. I don't know enough about drought tolerant vegetation.
Yeah. I always hate referencing other organizations in our code, like just.
No, I would just be taking the.
Just be pasting. Cut and paste.
Cut and paste, not reference. Yeah, cut paste, not reference.
Okay. I don't want to be subject to any other body, right?
Okay. Well, I'll create the list then and
put it in all three places.
For me, dandelions, whatever the Latin name for that is.
Rabbit brush, greasewood, stuff.
I'll get a check now. Put that in there.
Are you coming for you?
Rock.
That will go in all three places.
Right? Dandelion field. Yeah. We'd copy and paste that in all places. Yes.
Red root. My garden's red root right now.
Are there any other
fertilizer?
As we wrap this up, are there any other things you guys think of?
The dead horse has been beaten.
We talked about stamped concrete. Are we taking that out?
Say that again.
Stamped the stamped concrete.
Stamped concrete. We were going to take that out.
4.1.5C.
4.1.5C. We can leave it in, and then when they come and propose it,
we'll just say no.
Tell them how terrible of an idea it is.
Okay.
Because like when Hearts came, we said
why leave it if it's something we all concrete, hate, right?
We said colored, not stamped.
Yeah, why leave it if nobody wants it?
Because not every portion of stamped concrete is just something you're going to roll a shopping cart over.
Yeah, I mean,
we have a patio in our
You're not talking about Walmart, are you?
Pad with stamped around the outside. Yeah. And it's quite nice.
Yeah.
So I'm not rolling shopping carts across it.
All right, I see.
Isn't so it hard for snow shovels too, though?
We'll just, if they come with a stamp like Walmart, we'll say no, don't do it there.
Right, so I mean, if we see somebody with a shopping center and they have stamped concrete into their entrance, we can say based on experience,
which
this
we
is
made
a really
Walmart
bad idea.
Do. We insisted. that they stand by.
Right.
Well,
now we've learned.
We're big enough to admit that we made a mistake.
Yeah, we made a mistake. Horrible mistake.
What do you mean? We're working on that.
Somebody, my son has really good time.
A minority of the planning commission made a mistake.
Bounce right out if you go too
everyone gets to
the
open yourself after
that, too.
But is there, I'm sorry, is there, does it allow for colored concrete? Does it have language there?
I think you should add that.
Yeah, I think it should be there.
To the,
I thought it said stamped or stained.
Hold on.
It just says stamped concrete. I put stamped or colored.
What, can somebody point me in the, what number
415C.
415C?
Yeah. You could say cobblestone or colored.
Because stamped might be nice in certain areas of,
or colored.
Some types of developments.
Yeah, cobblestone. Stamped concrete.
Okay.
Or colored concrete.
Just not where there's parking cartons.
We have one other item. The map at the end.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about
it. Again, it doesn't have to take the form that I threw out over a year ago. I just think we need to get the rest of our property subzoned.
Yeah.
In one way, shape, or form.
Does there have a map in it? Oh, it is.
And all I did was extend the existing subzones down through that property and try to align them a little bit with American Fork. We don't have to do that. We could make it just a single subzone, but we have residential to the along the east side. So I was gesturing to that by bringing our mixed-use office retail down along the resident single-family homes. We can do whatever we want. I just think we need to do something because right now it's just zoned SE1, and there's no subzone designation.
Do you have any idea what depth you're proposing here?
Pardon?
Do you have any idea what depth you're proposing here?
Dimensions? I don't.
My only thought is that you don't want to zone an unbuildable parcel or zone something where it's going to be unused. So
it's going to be roughly 200 feet.
Think so? Yeah, I guess if I'm looking at those lot sizes.
About 100 feet deep-ish.
It does look like 2.5. Depth
looks like
a lot.
At least two lots.
250.
Yeah. I think it's 250, is it?
It's
hard to say.
I don't know. How does a developer try to develop something in our town with all these sub-districts? And
this is the only zone.
These are pretty narrow. I mean, some are wider than others, and parts of it's really narrow there. But yet it's supposed to be. I don't know.
This is the only zone with sub-districts.
Huh?
This is the only zone with sub-districts in it, though.
Right. I'm just saying that.
And
in my opinion, we have too many sub-districts. And I've said that earlier, but I'm not trying to resurrect that topic now any longer. But
you want
to
get rid of them now?
I just think that when you look at this, map, and we have all these different sub-districts, it makes it really hard for a developer to come in and propose anything.
I mean, everybody's clear that on the upper portion of the site, those already exist. Those are current sub-districts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I added color just so you could see it extend down to the south. But I think you're both making the point that that southern part, we don't want to divide it up such that a developer can't do something with it. Yeah. It's just that we've got those homes to the east.
My other thought would be drafting some dimensions on the map.
Yes, that needs to be done.
So it became less
ambiguous.
Well, I mean, you can figure it out kind of right now, but it's not a defined surveyed line. It's just kind of, I think this is about where they mean. Plop it down.
Well, who owns this map? Who has this?
Civil Science, and we can get that from them.
Yeah.
They're not our engineer firm anymore, but
are ours. See if you can get their CAD file. I don't know if your city engineer is it Dave? If he's got access to that software and if he can get into it and actually start to add some of the information.
We'd probably have to have Bowen and Collins do that. They're our new engineering firm. But it shouldn't be... It needs to be done.
Yeah.
I hate that ambiguity there.
And then again, I just threw out a straw man here. We can decide whatever we want to do with that southern property.
Okay.
The only other question I had is the little the jog you put on the bottom is so that it lines up with the homes on the other side of the street.
That was basically being a good neighbor to AF and saying you've got single family homes along the roughly 2/3 of our southern boundary. If I was making a gesture to the east single family homes, I just bent it around so it made the same gesture to the single family homes to the south.
What do we think that's going to do to any proposal, any development?
We talked about that before, and we're not, to be honest, it looks nice on the map, but is it really going to have an impact other than actually making it a little harder to develop?
In my mind, across the districts to accomplish their goals.
That's what I'd be concerned about.
Well,
does it prevent a theater from being built right up against a single family home?
In my mind, the biggest thing we propose now is there's a 45-foot barrier. And that's not going to affect the AF residents there.
No, they're already.
Because they're already the whole street profile away.
Right.
The 45-foot setback only applied, I thought, to the second and third subzones.
It does, and that pink one, it would apply.
It would apply in the pink one if we left the pink one.
If we left one. So, the way I'm thinking now is to just make that line as you continue south, as you start south, just run it all the way south, not jog it out to the 4800 a little bit to the west. That's just what I'm thinking.
I'm good.
Because I don't know that pulling it out like that, I see the intent, but I don't know that it's going to have any measurable impact there.
It may not.
Other than possibly prevent a development. Because I don't know, because I see we're trying to create a buffer there. But I think that the immediate concern was our own residents over the fence, not other residents in another city over a street.
You're absolutely right.
So I'm just throwing this out there as a discussion point.
So if we left it where it is, let the line continue south.
Yeah.
The south property line, we've increased the setback to 45 feet. Mm-hmm. Then the remaining question is, have we subdivided that property too much that it'll make it difficult for a developer?
I think that it might, of course.
Do we care?
Because if that
single family homes to the east, is that really our overriding concern?
If that rose area is 200 feet, if that rose area is 200 feet deep, where there's so many uses that are allowed in the mixed use zone and the neighborhood zone,
maybe they're okay.
You can traverse that line in many instances. It's just that if you were to build a supermarket there or a movie theater, you'd have to be more aware or more sensitive to the neighbors to the east than you would under the current guidelines. But you could straddle that line in a way. Not in every way, as was shown by assisted living, but in many ways you can sit over that line. So maybe I'm bringing up a point that doesn't even matter by saying,
right,
this jogs out. Do we want it to jog out like it's being proposed?
It just comes down to uses. Someone's gonna want to put something there that cross straddles over into the next thing, and then we'll have this whole debate about cross.
Or you're gonna have the debate with the neighbors, or you can have the debate with the neighbors that this is not.
I kind of want to wrap this up.
Maybe
right
we should
now,
not have this here.
This up.
You know.
What?
Anything that gets proposed there, they're going to want to mitigate that as much as possible, because that's what the general plan says. And that's what our responsibility is, to mitigate that.
But when you say as much as possible, that's...
I know, that's ambiguous.
Does that mean...
I think we'd be better off making all of that southern part yellow or all of it purple. Not having both, in my opinion.
Well, the difference between those two is small and subtle.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have your main commercial right here. You're going to have, less intense use right here.
Right.
So I think that it's still okay to define that.
That gets my vote. I'd prefer to do something like what I'm showing, just personally, because
I just wish the line was straight. It really bothers my sensibility.
We could run that line straight down.
That would be better, I think. Make it a straight line.
Okay. Any other big issues anyone's got? We've got to wrap up because I got another meeting.
I'm going to bring this up on the Planning Commission at the end. I'm hoping that we can send out a cleaner draft in the next week, and then we can cross the T's, dot the I's at the end of this month, and then present it for a public hearing next month.
Can we make a decision on that map, though, straight line?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Not yet, but we can discuss it in a week, in 2 weeks.
Discuss it more?
Yeah. Okay. Think about it. Stew over it.
All right.
Okay. To entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. Finally got used. It's like a little kid playing with her dad's tools.
I don't know. That, I think we all
did. I proposed it.
Yeah, you proposed
it. Two people did.
Jeff
I did. Okay. Somebody did. I think we all did. It's
just pick something. Pick your pick.
It was definitely seconded.
Yes, I know.
You're not. You're happy for
it. I am, but I just feel like.